Okay. I'm going to try something different. I need a certified cartologist, old school cartology, the way Prabhupada played. People who just like, there's only, I want to try something. This is going to be like a reenactment of early 1970s Jayarada Madhava, the way Prabhupada sang it. And just with simple, I bet you Kishore could do it. Just the simple. Okay, and just, and hold it to that, the simple, and then when it builds, Prabhupada would just go like that. And then we're going to end it old style. Remember how it would end with dun, 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 dun. This is a reenactment. Do you guys, there'll be harmonium. I mean, you've heard Prabhupada sing Jayarada Madhava in the recordings. I hope you guys have listened to that. With the harmonium going, and Prabhupada's playing kartals, and he's just playing the devotees are playing the simple beat that started the whole Hare Krishna movement, and it's just such a beautiful beat. Last night we were playing it upstairs with a group of new people, and they said, I just can't help but start dancing when I hear that. It's just so simple. Now listen to it a little bit this morning. Prabhupada teaching the Mridanga class. You can look that up. He says, teeny, teeny. So teeny, teeny, ta. Deo, ta, naka, de, ta, de, ya, de. Teeny, teeny, ta. Did you ever listen to that? Anybody? That was how everybody learned back then. It was really cool. So I really like the new style too, but this is something different, a different flavor. And sometimes simple is really appreciated, and it's a different flavor. A friend of ours, my wife sent him a package for his birthday. And it was just a card that said, we really appreciate how you're progressing in Krishna consciousness. And it was some mamra, puffed rice. And this guy he's a businessman. He makes a lot of money. But he wrote back, he said, practically, I had tears in my eyes when I read the card and I saw your gift of mamra, simple puffed rice. And he said, this gift meant so much to me. I wonder if I really deserve your attention. And I don't know what I've done to get this kind of love and to meet people like you and who have brought me to Krishna. He said, I don't think I would have gotten this emotional if someone gave me a gift of a diamond bracelet. So just something simple. Even Prabhupada talks about that. A wealthy man, sometimes he just wants to eat puffed rice. Has anyone heard that quote? You've heard it, yeah. So I'm not just making it up. They can get anything, fried in ghee, but they just want to try something different. Sometimes they want to go sit outside by the fire and have those dough balls. What's that called? Dal bhati, cooked on the fire. And so I've done that with rich people out in the country, and they love it. So today we're going to sing Jayarada Madhava, old style, even though I know everybody knows how to do fancy things on kartals. But just think of how Prabhupada would sing it. And so if you have access on your phone, we're going to read all of the verses leading up to 26. I'm just going to read the translations. And is there another microphone that we could pass around? Whoever sets that up, you could get that going. Also, I was going to say about singing Jayarada Madhava. Prabhupada describes in the Nectar of Devotion, what Rupa Goswami describes, there are different kinds of hearts. Bhagavatam talks about steel-framed heart. It doesn't melt when we chant the names of the Lord. And then within the Nectar of Devotion, it talks about a heart made of gold, heart made of shellac, because they melt at different temperatures. And so different heats are required to melt those hearts. So a heart of gold, it takes a lot. But hearing enough about Krishna, it starts to melt it. But a heart of shellac will melt more quickly. And then he talks about a heart made of nectar, which is always melted. So each of us, we require different amounts of Krishna consciousness to make our heart melt. Now, you've probably heard before how Prabhupada, when he first started singing Jai Radha Madhava, teaching it to the devotees, and he sang it a few times. There's a couple times where, in front of all the devotees, his heart melted, and he was stunned, and he just sat there, and everybody just looked at him like, wow, what's going on? What am I seeing here? He said the song is perfect. Everything is in there. Radha, Madhava, Kunja Vihari, they're dancing, they're playing in the groves of Vrindavan, in the Kunjas. Gopi Jana Vallabha, he's very dear to the gopis. Gopi Jana Vallabha, Giri Varadhari, he's lifting Govardhan Hill. Yashoda Nandana, son of Mother Yashoda. Braja Jana Ranjana, and he's very dear to all the people of Braj. Jamuna Tira, on the banks of the Jamuna. Vana Chari, so he's in the forests on the bank of the river Jamuna, moving around, playing with his friends. So everything's in there. There's Sakya Ras, Madhurya Ras, Vatsalya. But we need a lot to melt us. So we're going to read some things today, and maybe it'll start melting our hearts a little bit. Okay. Janma dhyasya yaton vayari taratascha teshva vigyasvaratthene brahma hridayadika vaye muhyanti yat surayaho tejo vari mridam yata vinamaya yatra trisarga mrisha dhamna svena sadanirasta kuhakam satyam param dhimahi dharma projita kaitavatra paramo nirmatsaranam satam Vedyam Vastavanatra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayan Mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamune Kritikimva Parairishwaraha Sadhyo Hridyavarudyatetra Kriti Bishushu Shubis Tachanat Nigama Kalpataror Ghalitam Phalam Shukham Mukaram Rita Dravasam Yutam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvibhavuka. So those with books, if you can go to text 1, chapter 11. And is there another microphone to pass around? You got it. Is it working today? Even with a fresh new battery yesterday, it wasn't working. Yeah, that thing is... Is there one on a cord, an old-fashioned, since we're doing reenactment day? That's a bit extreme, huh? Hare Krishna. Oh, man. I was hoping that, like, we could do back and forth reading. You guys would... Is it on its way? All right, let me know when that comes together. So text number one. Sutta Goswami said, upon reaching the border of his most prosperous metropolis, known as the country of the Anartas, Dwaraka, The Lord sounded his auspicious conch shell, heralding his arrival and apparently pacifying the dejection of the inhabitants. The chapter is 11, and I'm in text 1. I'm going to be reading the verses. Text number 2. The white and fat-boweled conch shell, being gripped by the hand of Lord Krishna and sounded by him, appeared to be reddened by the touch of his transcendental lips. It seemed that a white swan was playing in the stems of red lotus flowers. The citizens, text 3, the citizens of Dwaraka, having heard that sound which threatens fear personified in the material world, began to run toward him fast, just to have a long-desired audience with the Lord, who is the protector of all devotees. Okay, regarding the sound of Krishna's conch shell, in the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 35, you don't have to look it up, but you can take my word for it, that that is about devotional service and neutrality. And it describes different impetuses for devotees in neutrality to increase in their devotion. Anyone want to guess one of those? The sound of the conch shell. How did you know that? Okay, that was good. That was a good guess. All right, thank you. What's another one? You'll have to reach for this one. Study of the scriptures? Oh, that might be in there. It's working? Oh, good. another one is smelling the tulsi leaves that have been offered to the feet of the Lord. Anyone know who's referred to there? Four Kumaras, yeah, you guys are awake. So regarding hearing the sound of the conch shell, Rupa Goswami refers to a yogi who was sitting in meditation, and he heard the sound of Krishna's conch shell, and it brought him out of his meditation, and he loved it so much that he started bashing his head on the ground and breaking all the principles of the Ashtanga yoga process. I thought that was pretty cool. the sound of Krishna's conch shell brought that result. Throughout the Nectar of Devotion, there's references to people hearing Krishna's conch shells and getting different results. So here, we're hearing the citizens of Dwaraka. Text number 3 again, they heard that sound which threatens fear personified in the material world, and they began to run toward him fast, just to have a long-desired audience with the Lord, who is the protector of all devotees. And in the purport to that, a few paragraphs down, this sound of the Lord is identical with the Lord, as we have tried to explain by the non-dual position of the Lord. The material existence of our present status is full of fear. Out of the four problems of material existence, the fear problem gives us more trouble than the others. We are always fearful due to our ignorance of the next problem. The whole material existence is full of problems, and thus the fear problem is always prominent. Okay, yet all fear is vanished as soon as there is the sound of the Lord represented by his holy name as it is sounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the following 16 words. I bet you guys know those 16 words. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We can take advantage of these sounds and be free from all threatening problems of material existence. The next verse, 4 and 5. The citizens arrive before the Lord with their respective presentations, offering them to the fully satisfied and self-sufficient one, who, by his own potency, incessantly supplies others. These presentations were like the offering of a lamp to the sun. Yet the citizens began to speak in ecstatic language to receive the Lord, just as wards welcome their guardian and father. So the microphone, whoever's ready, could read the next verse, and then we'll go back and forth. I'll read one, you guys read one, I'll read one, and pass the microphone around.
The citizen said, O Lord, you're worshipped by all demigods like Brahma, the four sunners, and even the king of heaven. You are the ultimate rest for those who are really aspiring to achieve the highest benefit of life. You are the supreme transcendental Lord, and inevitable time cannot exert its influence upon you.
Okay, imagine saying that directly to Krishna and saying it with understanding. What are some of the points in there? Anybody remember without looking? Get the microphone.
Time cannot exert its influence on the Lord.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Any other points? Object of worship, and it mentions some names. Object of worship, okay, you're worshipped by, what kind of names were mentioned? Brahma, the demigods, the king of heaven, four Kumars, yeah, so important people. So you're even more important than them. You're so important that those important people worship you. And so they're looking at him. These aren't just empty prayers. And that's something that Prabhupada talks about in the purports coming up, that the reception was full of feeling. And I think it's in here. He uses the word sneha snuta, which is an interesting phrase. It means moistened with affection. So there's all kinds of things that get moistened. Usually it's the eyes. When you're really happy and you're full of affection, your eyes become moistened. And in Vatsalya Ras, the women, they become moistened. Their breasts become full of milk. And so that's also a big problem in Vrindavan. Everybody's moistened all the time. The pasturing grounds get muddy with milk. The cows see Krishna, and they just start giving milk. Somebody asked me, like, what's the big deal with milk and cows, and why does Krishna like cows so much? And what's so great about milk? And so I asked a few devotees. Yeah, I gave an answer, and I asked a few other devotees, and we had this nice discussion that milk comes from affection. And it's true. Some of my neighbors, they have goats, and those goats never had kids. That's what you call baby goats, is kids. But just because their owners gave them so much affection, those goats started giving milk. And so when there's affection, the milk starts flowing. And I've talked with women about this, that when they think about their babies, it's like, uh-oh.
We had one cow here at the manor that never calved, but gave milk for a long time.
Oh, wow.
16 years.
Okay.
She was very famous in the community.
Wow. The magic cow that gave milk for 16 years without ever having a calf. Oh, cool. Thank you. See, I'm not just making that up. Okay, thank you. What to speak of an ocean of milk? What does that mean? It's an ocean of affection. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Most cows will do this. If you give them affection. All right, so this reception was moistened with affection. The older women were feeling like that too. That's mentioned. But right now we're dealing with the citizens who are coming out to greet him. They heard the conch shell. Okay, just imagine what that's like to hear Krishna's conch shell. You're living in Dwarka, and every day you're just thinking, he's gone. Let's just read on. Let's see. Text number 7. My turn. Is that right? Or are you ready? Go ahead if you're ready.
O Creator of the universe, you are our mother, well-wisher, Lord, Father, spiritual master, and worshipable deity. By following in your footsteps, we have become successful in every respect. We pray, therefore, that you continue to bless us with your mercy.
Okay, so these are heartfelt prayers. They're not just saying stuff because they have to. Prabhupada talks in the purport about when a dignitary comes out and everybody says their official things, but this was very different. Next verse. Oh, it is our good luck that we have come again today under your protection by your presence, for your lordship rarely visits even the denizens of heaven. Now it is possible for us to look into your smiling face, which is full of affectionate glances. We can now see your transcendental form, full of all auspiciousness.
O lotus-eyed Lord, whenever you go away to Mathura, Vrindavana, or Hastinapur to meet your friends and relatives, every moment of your absence seems like a million years. O infallible one, at that time our eyes become useless, as if bereft of sun.
They all are. But what? Go ahead. What do you have to say? Oh, okay. That's another topic. Okay, text number 10. O Master, if you live abroad all the time, then we cannot look at your attractive face, whose smiles vanquish all our sufferings. How can we exist without your presence? Upon hearing their speeches, the Lord, who is very kind to the citizens and the devotees, entered the city of Dwarka and acknowledged all their greetings by casting his transcendental glance over them.
As Bhogavati, the capital of Nagaloka, is protected by the Nagas, so was Dwarka protected by the descendants of Vrishni. Bhoja, Madhu, Dasharha, Arha, Kukura, Andaka, etc., who are as strong as Lord Krishna.
The city of Dwarakapuri was filled with the opulences of all seasons. There were hermitages, orchards, flower gardens, parks, and reservoirs of water breeding lotus flowers all over.
The city gateway, the household doors, and festooned arches along the roads were all nicely decorated with festive signs like plantain trees and mango leaves, all to welcome the Lord. Flags, garlands, and painted signs and slogans all combined to shade the sunshine.
So a little side story. Out in our simple village, tiny, tiny temple, we organized Janmashtami. It was just a handful of people, a couple dozen people. And the plan was we're just going to talk about Krishna all day long. Everybody had the assignment, study one story from Krishna book and then tell it from memory. And so that's how we spent about 4 hours. Just everybody telling stories about Krishna from memory. So this elderly woman showed up before the festival, and she didn't know anything about this. She was coming from a yoga background, and I thought, oh boy, she's going to think this is kind of weird. I better give her an introduction. So I sat down with her, and we read these same verses that I'm reading now, and I said, this is the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're reading about Krishna. And we read into it, and then I said, the purpose for this book is to bring Krishna into your presence and then to take him away so you feel separation. And I said, he's just left this one city and everybody was out offering prayers, saying, I wish he could stay a little bit longer. And he does stay a little bit longer. And then finally he has to leave. So they're missing him. Then we're coming here and these people are happy to greet him and they're also expressing how much they miss him. And so I said, it's to bring Krishna into your presence and then to take him away so you miss him. And then this lady said 2.5 words that I felt really good about. She said, it's working. So just from reading this little section, I thought, wow, cool. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. This is the first canto, the lotus feet of Krishna, the lotus feet of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Already we're talking about Krishna and we're establishing this. We're bringing you there into his presence and then talking about how much we miss him. Now they're describing the situation. Whose turn? Go ahead if you're ready.
The highways, subways, lanes, markets, and public meeting places were all thoroughly cleansed and then moistened with scented water. And to welcome the Lord, fruits, flowers, and unbroken seeds were strewn everywhere.
Text 15. In each and every door of the residential houses, auspicious things like curd, unbroken fruits, sugarcane, and full water pots with articles for worship, incense, and candles were all displayed.
On hearing that the most dear Krishna was approaching Dwarka Dham, magnanimous Vasudeva, Krura, Ugrasena, Balaram, the superhumanly powerful, Pradyumna, Charudeshna, and Samba, the son of Jambavati, all extremely happy, abandoned resting, sitting, and dining.
Okay, Pradyumna? Who's Pradyumna's father? Is that right? Krishna is his father. Charudeshna? It's also Krishna. Who's Charudeshna's mother? It's mentioned in the purport. Oh, Rukmini. And Samba. Who's Samba's mother? Jambavati. Yeah, that's right there in the verse. So imagine that. Here comes my father. So they're all getting up to greet him. Text 18. They hastened toward the Lord on chariots with Brahmins bearing flowers. Before them were elephants, emblems of good fortune. Conch shells and bugles were sounded, and Vedic hymns were chanted. Thus they offered their respects, which were saturated with affection.
At the same time, many hundreds of well-known prostitutes began to process on various vehicles. They were all very eager to meet the Lord, and their beautiful faces were decorated with dazzling earrings, which enhanced the beauty of their foreheads.
Expert dramatists, artists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists, and learned speakers all gave their respective contributions, being inspired by the superhuman pastimes of the Lord. Thus they proceeded on and on.
Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, approached them and offered due honor and respect to each other and every one of the friends, relatives, citizens, and all others who came to receive and welcome him.
The Almighty Lord greeted everyone present by bowing his head, exchanging greetings, embracing, shaking hands, looking and smiling, giving assurances and awarding benedictions, even to the lowest in rank.
Then the Lord personally entered the city, accompanied by elderly relatives and invalid brahmanas with their wives, all offering benedictions and singing the glories of the Lord. Others also praised the glories of the Lord.
When Lord Krishna passed over the public roads. All the ladies from the respectable families of Dwaraka went up to the roofs of their palaces just to have a look at the Lord. They considered this to be the greatest festival. Here's something really nice in the purport. The Lord being Kaivalya, one alone, there is no matter in him. He is one without a second, and therefore the Almighty Lord can appear in any form without being contaminated by the material conception. Therefore, festivities in the temple of the Lord, as held generally, are like festivals performed during the manifestive days of the Lord of Dwaraka about 5,000 years ago. The authorized acharyas, who know the science perfectly, install such temples of the Lord under regulative principles just to offer facilities to the common man. But persons who are less intelligent, without being conversant with the science, mistake this great attempt to be idol worship and poke their nose into that to which they have no access. Therefore, the ladies or men who observe festivals in the temples of the Lord just to have a look at the transcendental form are 1,000 times more glorious than those who are non-believers in the transcendental form of the Lord. So, that one sentence. Festivities in the temple of the Lord, as held generally, are like festivals performed during the manifestive days of the Lord of Dwaraka about 5,000 years ago. Okay, 25, go ahead.
The inhabitants of Dwaraka were... The inhabitants of Dwaraka were regularly accustomed to look upon the reservoir of all beauty, the infallible Lord, yet they were never satiated.
So what does satiated mean?
Satisfied.
Okay. Or saturated, yeah. It means both, but... You're still hungry for it, like a sponge. It can soak up a certain amount of water, but then after, you got to go squeeze it out. But it's unlimited how much you can take in Krishna's beauty. In the Nectar of Devotion, it talks about one of the gopis who says... I'm really trying to follow what my parents want me to do. I know I have a husband lined up for me, but I can't stop thinking about Krishna because he has this newly invented way of smiling. So how can you invent a new way of smiling? But to her, it just looks new and fresh. And that's the thing for a devotee. It's always looking at Krishna and like, oh my God, I never noticed how beautiful. So Krishna is the source of all beauty. It's always increasing. There's no limit, and there's no limit to how much the devotee can take that beauty in. And also in reference to the temples, last night, talking with that group, I mentioned George Harrison. What a nice guy. He's given this building, which is a temple. So many people can come here and become uplifted. And then I got out the Krishna book, and I said, this book is also like a temple. And for those who are even more advanced, you can just live in that book, reading about Krishna and really feeling his presence. But then if you put the two together, then that's like super powerful. Like, you know, rice is really good and beans are really good. The 8 amino acids, they're strong on rice in some areas, but lacking in others. And beans, it's just the opposite. They're missing. And so when you put them together, then you have the complete protein and you got superfood. So coming to the temple and... also reading from the Krishna book, and together we read George Harrison's, what was that? Was it an introduction? Okay. So at the end he said, I request you, and he's just saying you to whoever is reading it, I request you to take advantage of this Krishna book. And he said, I also request you, how did he word that? To meet your Lord, Krishna. It was pretty strong. And I thought it would be pretty cool to make a life-size cutout of George Harrison pointing to the Krishna book, saying, I request you to take advantage of this Krishna book. All right, so the residents were accustomed to look upon the reservoir of all beauty, yet they were never satiated. Text 26, today's verse. We'll go through the Sanskrit just once. Shri O Nivasa Yasyoda. Panapatram Mukham Drisham. Bahavo Lokapalanam. Sharanganam Padam Bhujam. How much more time do we have? Is it 8:30? It's 8:30 stretchable. Okay. Okay. The verse translation is, and we'll come back to the Sanskrit. The Lord's chest is the abode of the goddess of fortune. Okay. Listen close. See how many of these points you can catch. The Lord's chest is the abode of the goddess of fortune. His moon-like face is the drinking vessel for eyes which hanker after all that is beautiful. His arms are the resting places for the administrative demigods, and his lotus feet are the refuge of pure devotees who never talk or sing of any subject except his lordship. So how many points in there?
Four.
Oh, good. You guys are paying attention. What's the first point? His chest is the abode of the goddess of fortune. And Prabhupada talks about that in the purport. And it's so cool. Just wanted to make sure we get all these 4 points before we jump into the purport. And so, the first line. Shriya Nivasa Yasyora. So, Shriya means the goddess of fortune. Nivasa, residential place. Yasya, one whose. Ura, chest. So his chest is the residence of Lakshmi. Shriya Nivasa Yasyora. Panapatram Mukham Drisham. So what's the second point? The moon-like face is the drinking vessel for those who seek beautiful things to look at. Okay, good. That was real good. She got everything in there. So we'll read that again. The Sanskrit. Panapatram Mukham Drisham. Panapatram, the drinking pot. Mukham, face. Drisham, of eyes. Panapatram Mukham Drisham. Bahavo Lokapalanam. So what's the third point? The demigods, his arms, administrative. Who wants to sum it all up?
His arms are the resting places of the demigods.
His arms are the resting places for the administrative demigods. Okay, good. Prabhupada talks about the demigods are protected by those arms. So if you want protection, that's where you go. If you want beauty, that's where you go. If you want wealth, that's where you go. So, line number three again. Bahavo, bahavo lokapalanam. Sharanganam padam bhujam. Sharanganam padam bhujam. Okay. What does that one mean? Okay. The lotus feet of the Lord are the resting place for the devotees. Yeah, the pure devotees who never talk or sing of any subject except His Lordship. And so the purport goes through those first three things and says, if you have needs, this is where you go. You'll get them fulfilled. But the devotees are specifically interested just in His feet. They don't want wealth. They don't care about beauty. They don't care about protection. They just want to reside at His feet. All right, let's jump into the purport. Who's got the microphone? Where is it? Okay. I'll read two sentences, and then someone can read two sentences from the purport. There are different classes of human beings, all seeking different enjoyments from different objects. There are persons who are seeking after the favor of the goddess of fortune, and for them the Vedic literatures give information that the Lord is always served with all reverence by thousands and thousands of goddesses of fortune at the Chintamani Dham, the transcendental abode of the Lord, where the trees are all desire trees and the buildings are made of touchstone. So go ahead, read.
The Lord Govinda is engaged there in herding the Surabhi cows as his natural occupation. These goddesses of fortune can be seen automatically if we are attracted by the bodily features of the Lord.
The impersonalists cannot observe such goddesses of fortune because of their dry speculative habit. And those who are artists, overtaken by the beautiful creation, should better see to the beautiful face of the Lord for complete satisfaction. Who's ready? Not quite there yet. I'll read one more sentence. The face of the Lord is the embodiment of beauty. What they call beautiful nature is but His smile, and what they call the sweet songs of the birds are but specimens of the whispering voice of the Lord.
There are administrative demigods in charge of departmental service of cosmetic management, and there are tiny administrative gods in the state service. They are always afraid of other competitors, but if they take shelter of the arms of the Lord can protect them always from the attacks of enemies.
A faithful servant of the Lord engaged in the service of administration is the ideal executive head and can well protect the interest of the people in general. Other so-called administrators are symbols of anachronisms leading to the acute distress of the people who are governed by them. Did everybody follow that sentence? Anyone want to repeat it from memory? Prabhupada's almost like poetry. So it said that faithful servants of the Lord engaged in the service of administration, that's the ideal executive head. These kind of people can well protect the interest of the people in general. Other so-called administrators who are not protected by Krishna, who are not under Krishna's direction, are symbols of anachronisms. What's an anachronism? Something wrong with it? Uh-huh. Anything else? Out of chronology. Yeah, you notice the chrona. Chrona means time. So it's like outdated. It's old-fashioned. It doesn't work. It's not keeping up with the times. So other so-called administrators are symbols of anachronisms leading to the acute distress of the people who are governed by them. Okay, let's move on. Who's ready?
the administrators can remain safely under the protection of the arms of the Lord. The essence of everything is the Supreme Lord. He is called the Saram. And those who sing and talk about him are called the Sarangas, or the pure devotees.
The pure devotees are always hankering after the lotus feet of the Lord. The lotus has a kind of honey which is transcendentally relished by the devotees.
Next slide.
Who's ready? I'll read two more. They're like the bees who are always after the honey. Srila Rupa Goswami, the great devotee Acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, has sung a song about this lotus honey, comparing himself to the bee. O my Lord Krishna, I beg to offer my prayers unto you. My mind is like the bee, and it is after some honey. Kindly, therefore, give my bee mind a place at your lotus feet, which are the resources for all transcendental honey. So before we go on, does anyone recognize that song? Whoa, who said that? How did you know that? Yeah, if we had more time, I would have set it up and we could sing it and print up translation. It's really nice. Krishna Deva, Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande. Man Manasa Madhukara Arpaya Nijapada Pankaja Makharande. So that's the beginning of the song. And then the verses are. What is the name of it? Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande. And it's so fun to read this purport and sing the song. Okay, so now Rupa Goswami in his song says, I know that even big demigods like Brahma do not see the rays of the nails of your lotus feet, even though they are engaged in deep meditation for years together. Still, O infallible one, my ambition is such, for you are very merciful to your surrendered devotees. So even though Brahma can't see, Brahma engages in meditation for a long time, can't see the tips of your toes, yet I want to go there. I want to get in there and get the honey from the lotus. And he goes on. It's a logical prayer, although it's illogical. It's just like a childish request, as Prabhupada describes Dhruva's request. And if you don't ask, you don't get. So Rupa Goswami goes on. O Madhava, I know also that I have no genuine devotion for the service of your lotus feet. Natila Matri says, Tila, a sesame seed. I don't even have a sesame seed of bhakti. But still, I'm asking anyway. I don't have any money. I don't have anything to pay for it. But I want it. But because your lordship is inconceivably powerful, you can do what is impossible to be done. Durgata gata, durgata gata vam nidhatri. You make the impossible possible. Your lotus feet can deride even the nectar of the heavenly kingdom, and therefore I'm very much attracted by them. O Supreme Eternal, please therefore let my mind be fixed at your lotus feet, so that eternally I may be able to relish the taste of your transcendental service. End of quote. End of that song. The devotees are satisfied with being placed at the lotus feet of the Lord and have no ambition to see his all beautiful face or aspire for the protection of the strong arms of the Lord. They are humble by nature, and the Lord is always leaning toward such humble devotees. Okay, we read a lot, we said a lot. There's a lot there, but then I see devotees leaving, and So I'll open it up. Any discussion, any questions or comments or things that really stood out to you?